Christmas, When God Remembered the Rainbow, was presented by Jack Crabtree on December 23, 2018, at Reformation Fellowship's annual Christmas celebration. The copyright for this recording is held by Jack Crabtree and is being made available to you by Gutenberg College. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. Contributions to Jack Crabtree may be made at www.soundinterp.wordpress.com. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
The human story has been a long one. The age of human history that existed before the age in which we now live lasted for a very long time. Man was created, and then for thousands of years of history, he proceeded to prove how evil he was. Mankind became increasingly dark, more and more unjust, and ever more evil. Eventually, humans became so outrageously evil and violent that God, the righteous judge of all creation, decided to pour out his wrath against it. He would have been fully within his rights to destroy it completely, but God had a different purpose in mind for mankind. He had not created human beings just to completely annihilate them. So in order to fulfill his predetermined purpose for mankind, God rescued 8 people. Yes, he rescued 8 people from the flood that he sent upon the earth to destroy it. God instructed an individual named Noah to build a big boat that would allow him and his family to survive the coming flood. Noah built the boat, and it rescued Noah and his family from the flood. With them, mankind survived, but just barely. Only 8 individuals had been mercifully spared God's just judgment. Why were these 8 individuals spared? Not because they were good, not because they did not deserve to be destroyed by his judgment. They were spared because God had a different ending in mind for the human race. Mankind had to continue so that God's purposes could be realized. And why was Noah the one who received mercy? Not because he was a good man who did not deserve destruction, rather because he was righteous. From the rest of Scripture, we know what that means. Even though Noah, like the rest of mankind, was fundamentally evil in his heart, he hungered and thirsted to know, honor, and obey his Creator. So God granted him and his family mercy. After the dry land had reappeared and Noah and his family had once again begun to live on the land, God made a covenant with Noah and his family. In Genesis 9:8-17, we read as follows. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, I establish my covenant with you. And all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Until recently, I have understood God to be promising simply that he would never again use a flood to judge mankind. While he might again destroy mankind and all flesh that is on the earth, never again would he use water to do it. On further reflection, I realize that I am missing the whole point. God's promise is not with regard to what means he will use to judge the whole earth. His promise is with regard to the scale and extent of his judgment. Never again, God promises to Noah, will he destroy virtually all of mankind and virtually every living thing. God told Noah, "I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth." But his promise more precisely is this: "I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by my wrathful judgment of mankind. Neither shall there again be a wrathful judgment of mankind that will destroy virtually the whole earth." In the statement of God's promise, the water of the flood is just a stand-in for the wrathful judgment of God against human evil. Put simply, God's promise is that when he does come in judgment against mankind, there will not be only 8 survivors. There will be vastly more survivors next time. The remainder of Scripture elaborates on this promise God gave to Noah. God most certainly will judge mankind again. As a matter of fact, he will judge it 2 more times. At the end of this present evil age, God is going to judge the evil of his own chosen people, the Jews. Then later, at the very end of this created reality, God will condemn and destroy most of evil mankind once and for all. But on neither occasion will God be stingy with his mercy. At the end of history, when God judges his people, the Jews, vastly more than 8 individuals will be spared by his mercy. A total of 144,000 Jews will be sealed and mercifully protected from the wrath of God. Whether literal or figurative, 144,000 represents a very large number. Furthermore, when God at the end of created reality pours out his final wrath against the evil of mankind, a whole multitude of people will escape destruction. Those who survive God's wrath will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand upon the seashore. Completely unlike his judgment in the days of Noah, God's final judgment on mankind will be accompanied by a great abundance of mercy. That was the significance that God assigned to the rainbow. The rainbow was a sign that never again would God's judgment involve a nearly universal destruction of every human being. What does any of this have to do with Christmas, you might be asking? How does the rainbow relate to the birth of the Christ? Very simply, the promise that the rainbow signifies is a promise that will be fulfilled because of Christmas Day. Jesus the Messiah, the child who was born on Christmas Day, is the avenue by which God will fulfill his rainbow promise. It is Jesus who will secure mercy for that vast army of people who will find mercy rather than wrath at the final judgment. Indeed, this is at the core of the real meaning and true joy of Christmas. We rejoice at Christmas because of the mercy that is promised in Jesus. The profound and abundant mercy that God promised Noah in the rainbow will be secured for us by the man Jesus, the one who entered into history on the day we celebrate as Christmas. Tragically, Christmas does not spell joy for everyone. It is only joyful for those who belong to Jesus. As with Noah's ark, in order to escape destruction, you have to be on board. The ark did not rescue those who were not on it. Analogously, Jesus will not rescue those who do not belong to him. We cannot grasp the meaning and significance of Christmas if we do not understand who Jesus is. He is the life raft that God has provided in order that we might survive the flood of his coming wrath. He will not benefit us if we merely marvel at him from afar. We must climb on board. That is, we must trust him to secure divine mercy for us. Only then will we be saved from ultimate destruction. This Christmas season, I pray that you will not miss the opportunity to appreciate who Jesus really is and to appropriate his benefit to you. In Jesus, God remembered the promise that is signified by his rainbow, and he threw you a life raft so that you need not be destroyed. Now is the time to climb on board, for as in the days of Noah, tomorrow may be too late.
Let's pray. Father God, once again, we've been reminded of how the central figure in all of your creation entered our world as one of us, and will one day be the king and ruler over all of your creation. We look forward to the coming of your kingdom on earth and the unimaginable blessing which you have promised to those who put their trust in you. Amen.